Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
B-Pod Studios.
This is where Boston talks sports.
I'm overwhelmed.
Toucher and Rich.
You can eat a lot at one sitting.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
So you're going to say brain-dead Chiefs fans, Boston, when you have the wet bandits running around Massachusetts swiping Red Sox banners.
You know, we're working, too.
I mean, where does anybody in old England get off calling Chiefs fans brain dead when that right there is the spitting image of a Boston sports fan? Have you looked in the mirror, Boston? Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice. God, I hate that part of the country more than life itself. I absolutely despise old England and everything about it. You can take your cape and you can take your chowder.
The lobster rolls are
and
amazing.
The lobster, you go out there and you can take everything that you have, your arrogance, your pompous mountains and Maine. And you know what? You can take it all and you can all shove it into the Atlantic Ocean. Don't start talking smack on Kansas City fans. Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
I say something that I like. 98.5, the Sports Hub, where Toucher and Rich. This hour, Toucher and Rich is brought to you by Stop and Shop.
There's going to be hell to pay for the Boston Patriots coming in here from Old England.
All right, first of all, the guy's from New Jersey. And second of all...
That was pretty edgy for... Okay, so he's from Jersey, then that makes sense.
But I'll, sure. But I'll tell you this, is like, what? How is that good radio? Just, like, rooting
Fred, apparently. Well, that's why you'll never be as successful as Fesco in the morning.
Hey, Boston, kiss my ass twice.
You can hear the sincerity in his voice.
It's weird because he's, like, it feels like he's, like, conflating two stereotypes about us. There's, like, the stereotype that Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, like, perpetuated 20 years ago with Good Will Hunting, that we're all a bunch of, you know, like we all sound like that.
Sure.
We all act like that. And then there's also, like, the pompous, like, Kennedy thing, too.
Well, the so pompous
mountains. He's
conflating
the two. Like,
well,
yeah.
Well, then he just said those mountains are...
Pompous mountains and Maine.
Yeah, so my contention is, because there's a lot of good stuff that he said that was really funny, but my contention is, like, there's so much to make fun of around here, and, like, you're making fun of the mountains.
Well, Fred said it best. If we just start with the Wahlbergs.
And Maine.
Maine. So, I mean, you could have made fun of Vermont.
Somebody said, listen, the mountains in Vermont are a little pompous, but the ones in Maine, they're real a-holes. Yeah, right. I mean, just real a-hole mountains there. By the way, Friday mornings.
Stupid ocean up there, too.
those oceans are jerks. Friday mornings in Vern Freer brought to you by the Salvador Auto Group. Salvador has incredible deals on Chevy, Ram, and pre-owned trucks just off Route 2 and Gardner. And at Salvador Trucks.com. Salvador's got your trucks, but they are trying to find some sort of villain here as far as ripping on Kansas City fans. And, like, no one here hates Kansas City fans.
No.
We don't really even think about Kansas City fans. No, they seem to like a fairly pleasant folk.
It's hard to gin up anger about Kansas City.
Kansas City's a lovely place.
Okay.
I've had a good time.
So I saw you yesterday on the NBC Sports Boston, and I've seen this in a few places where people are trying to pick, like, who's the better and, you know, the run game, the pass game. But the one that I find the funniest is that there's a lot of people giving Andy Reid, like, a ton of credit. Like, saying that when it comes to the coaching matchup, I've seen more than a few people say, well, you got to give it to Andy Reid.
I don't try. Like, if we're in the last 5 minutes of the game, there's no question I trust Bill.
Yeah.
Like, that, there's... The thing is that if you look at recent history, I can understand why people would look at Andy Reid now in Kansas City differently than maybe they looked at him 10 years ago in Philadelphia. And that's a credit to him. Like, he's reinvented himself and he had to do that. Like, a lot of times guys get fired and they go back and they examine things. And I think Andy's done as good a job as anyone who's been in that position of getting fired, being older. Like, a lot of the stuff that he's doing there is new and different. They brought a lot of stuff from the college game that people said forever that you couldn't do, and they've applied it in the NFL game.
Right.
So that's what I'm saying. Like, it's like that might be where the coaching edge would be, is that he's really the offense. They've scored 40 points three times on that.
He's an offensive genius. And right. The thing is that the thing I always say is Mahomes went almost to any other team, he wouldn't have been utilized correctly.
Right.
I believe. And
he had vision for him.
Yeah. And then what I think is my read on the coaching is obviously Belichick's a superior coach, but what happened against the Chargers isn't going to happen against the Chiefs,
right?
Like they're gonna evolve.
Well, and we saw that though. Like the first time, right? They got hit in the mouth the same way the Chargers got hit in the mouth when they came here, and two completely different reactions from those teams, right?
Yeah. Oh yeah,
like the Chargers just laid there, yeah. Right? And the Patriots could just keep throwing hooks and uppercuts and everything else at them. The Chiefs got I walked away from the game in October thinking more of Patrick Mahomes than I did going in.
Sure. Even I think a lot of us did. Yeah, Because that was on a huge stage. Was it 6 weeks in?
Right.
Week six. Yeah. So
he hadn't been challenged that way yet.
Yeah.
Like, he hadn't, like they came in, they believe they were undefeated, right?
Were at they that still? Point, I bet they were. I mean, I know they came right out of the box and he was throwing like five touchdown games. I gotta think they were undefeated at that point.
The bottom line is they had a bunch of games where they were up like 21-0 instantly. Like they really hadn't been challenged. And I was like, I came away from that game really impressed because he had the play where the Patriots fooled him, where, you know, Hightower comes up, then drops off, and he throws the ball right in Hightower's hands. They forced mistakes. He didn't look great in the first half of that game, and he kept swinging, you know. And then in the second half, all of a sudden, like, it's just, I thought for given the situation, the coach on the other side, the environment, Sunday night, it's in fog, all the different stuff, right? Mm-hmm. Like, the fact that kid kept coming, like, the way that he kept coming, like, there are lots of young quarterbacks where they would have thrown that pick. They would have looked up into the stands. They would have looked across the side, across the other sideline, and seen Belichick, and they would have crumbled.
Right.
And we didn't see that from him.
Okay, so there's a lot of people talking about the defense on Kansas City,
yep.
saying despite their ranking, they're a lot better defense than we're seeing. It is strange that they can be that low, like, what are they, 24th as far as the points allowed? There's
the
number one amount of
one sacks.
Number one sacks.
Their line is,
which means that they're crappy everywhere else. Apparently, if they're number one in sacks, you're 24th in points allowed.
Right.
Then obviously there's something there that
Plus,
they can exploit.
They were missing a couple players on defense, right? The last time they came.
Yeah,
to
I mean Justin Houston didn't play. Eric Berry and look.
Eric Berry might not play.
Eric Berry might not play Sunday, and we don't know what version of him we're getting. You
the
know,
one that's afraid of horses.
Like,
I'm sure if he does
that one, right?
Yeah, the quantiphobia.
We don't know if he's going to be anything close to what he's been, even if he does play. So I wouldn't count on a ton from him. But Houston makes a difference, definitely. Houston's not only a good player against not only a good pass rusher, he's good against the run too. I think the key for Kansas City. I talked to D Ford right after they beat the Colts, and like the key for them is, if they can get the other team off schedule, now all of a sudden you've got all those guys up front, and it's Houston, Ford. Chris Jones, like, could wind up being a key to this.
Best defensive lineman other than Donald?
He has 15.5 sacks as a defensive tackle. Where does Brady struggle with pressure up the middle?
Yeah.
So, like, they have to be able to get you into 2nd and 12, into 3rd and 8. I'm a little skeptical about their ability to do that against the Patriots because of how well the Patriots ran the ball last week, how the Patriots are able to use the quick game to stay out of those situations. But yeah, I mean, if they can get the Patriots in 2nd and 12 or 3rd and 8, or if they can build a lead and now the Patriots have to throw on every down, then yeah, I think that they turn into a different defense.
Do you believe that there was just a different gear that this Patriots team has been waiting to go into for the postseason?
I was impressed. I did not see that coming. Like, I'd be the first to tell you, I picked them to win last week. I picked them to beat the Chargers. I did not think that it would look like that. I think they deserve a lot of credit for, there's like little pieces of that I think we saw during the year. Like, we saw the running game. We saw some of the things they did on defense. And it was impressive to me that they put it all together at once, you know? And it's a credit to Bill for being able to manage a season and go 11-5 and still work on things during the year. Now, they get some help there, too. Like, if they're in the AFC West, and I'm not big on playing the division game, but one thing playing in that division does help with is if you know you're going to win the division, you can sort of work on some things.
Right.
If you get to play the Jets and Bills twice, you can maybe use those games a certain way. And they did use one of the Jets games to work on their running game.
But Reed got that opportunity to like say to hold some things back against the Colts because he didn't have to go to
because
anything.
Because it was, yeah. Yeah. I mean, I think that like during the year, one of the things that Bill's always done really well is, you know, they work on certain things during the years, and everything's sort of with an eye towards what's it going to look like in January. And, man, I mean, like, the adjustment to not having a Gronkowski, the sort of Gronkowski we've seen, right? Like, we saw that adjustment because Gronk only had one catch. But we saw how they used James White in the passing game.
Yeah.
And so that was an adjustment. To me, like, that's an adjustment to not having Gronk being Gronk. Like, Gronk is what he is at this point. And then, like, all the work they did on the running game, too. Like, we saw that come to life and what they did in drafting Sony Michel and then investing time and getting him right and making sure that he's where he needed to be in January. I was just impressed the way all of that came together at once. Can they repeat that? I don't know, but I mean, it just, to me, like what last Sunday was just a shining example of how like just comprehensive and logical and all of that, like all of this is like that they, this isn't like a fly-by-the-seat-of-their-pants operation. Mm-hmm. Like, everything's done with a purpose over the course of the year, and that's to arrive at this time of year with a coherent plan for how you're going
to
do it.
All right. We'll talk to you about the struggles on the road with the Patriots. And again, I need to be indulged and ask you at one point during this what you thought of Adam Case's press conference.
Do you like those eyes?
No.
They've been there the whole time.
Okay. Who has seen them?
Like, I mean, that's the thing. They went back.
Google him and try to find. Go to Google Images. Try to see how many. See how many pictures you can find without his hat pulled low over his eyes.
Yeah.
Okay.
The New York Daily News did a retrospective of him having beady eyes.
Of course they did.
You guys saw the taco video, right?
Oh, it's great. Yeah, the mysterious taco floating around his head.
Did it inspire much confidence?
So you're like all of a sudden out on Adam Gase?
I'm not. It's the Jets and the lunatic.
You loved the hire last week.
I did like the hire. I think it was the best hire anyone made.
He didn't realize he got Cookie Monster.
The next day, Fred, not in.
I said the day after that I've come to accept it. It was a little concerning because there was two idiots, but he was sitting between two idiots, in McCagnon and Johnson, and then he's Googling out, and I'm thinking...
That's Fred being shallow. He's just basing someone's ability on their looks. I don't like that at all.
This is like that Kennedy-Nixon thing, right? Like,
exactly what it is.
Yeah, Nixon sweating.
Kennedy's like,
people who listen to it on the radio, like, we're all for Nixon.
Sure.
I did like the hire. I could do without the googly eyes. All right, so we'll be back.
You're listening to Toucher and Rich, 98.5 Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. AFC Championship game, of course, Sunday evening. And the Patriots are underdogs, and they are playing that thing up, baby. I guess Edelman made shirts.
Bet against us? Here's my only problem with everything that has to do with, and this has gone on for several years now.
$30.
Anytime anyone says anything like...
Remotely?
You have to make a t-shirt out of it. And you've got to make a hashtag out of it. There's the I just like winning thing that Tom Brady said. And the next day, all of a sudden, there's I just like winning shirts. There's I just like winning stuff going around. That becomes the catchphrase. Anytime, like, you know, what's his name? Edelman in the locker room says, you know, bet against us. And all of a sudden, there's like bet against us merchandise that you can get. I mean, you remember every time that Robert Kraft speaks after a game, it becomes t-shirts that you can buy. Unequivocally the sweetest. Right. Which, who's buying a shirt that has the word unequivocally on it?
You
no one.
Buy shirts that said, what do you like? A nice hot grilled
hot dog slice. You like it, right? That's the shirt I want.
Yeah.
But
I made them.
It just seems like every time now they talk post-game, they realize this is setting up a merchandise dynasty.
Well,
like
Edelman sold them himself. So, yeah.
Well,
they're on like the JE11.com website or something like that.
Sure.
I saw some comedian ripping on them.
Well, that, like, the this whole thing about like the whole oversensitivity, like saying anything negative about that team. Anything negative about
them. No, it's infuriating.
It is like, it is so easy to see why the rest of the country hates the Patriots.
Oh, yes.
It is so easy. Because it's like, I mean, you look at it like, and I me and Curran went back and forth on TV about it last night. Like, it was, like, it is possible, okay? It is possible to criticize them and not think they suck. Like, that's possible to do.
Sure.
You can criticize them and not think they suck. You can question things that happen during the year and not think they suck. Like, it is just, like, it is so over, like, it's like, and they've created this. It's, you're either 100% in the tank, like, for them, or you're against them.
Well, if that's, like, the that's mentality the way that they is. Have, they need to win, I'm fine with that.
Yeah,
it,
I know,
it
I
is
have,
funny
I
on the outside looking in.
I don't have any problem. I don't have any problem with, like, Tom Brady, join, if that's what you need to get you going,
then use it.
God bless you.
Yeah,
go. Yep. Because I know all athletes are that way, right? Like, the high-level athletes, a lot of times, use the smallest stuff to try to get an edge. Does it work? Does it not work? Who knows?
We used Ortiz as an example. David Ortiz was the biggest, like,
right,
us.
Right,
and sometimes you're like, who is he talking about?
But that doesn't mean. But
the other thing, back in 2003 and 2004, Rodney Harrison was saying, no one believes in us.
Yeah,
those are teams, those are Patriots teams that were maiming people.
2004, like, they had won two championships in 3 years. They were coming off two championships in 3 years.
Yep.
They were going into Pittsburgh for the AFC championship game, right?
Mm-hmm.
Pittsburgh was 15-1 and had annihilated the Patriots during the year. And they were favored. And the Patriots went in there and won. And Rodney Harrison, like, after the game, goes, none of y'all believed in us.
Right.
No, Rodney, everyone believed in you. You were on the road in the AFC championship game. You were favored against a 15-1 team. Like, that is, like, the ultimate sign of respect. And so that's, I think, what people get. Like that's what's, I think, a little annoying about it is, like, it's one, like, the athletes themselves, they use it.
Yeah.
I don't have a problem with that.
Like, then why should we?
We don't need to pretend, okay?
Because it's annoying.
Like, yeah, it's just like, we don't need to pretend. Like, let's not pretend that that's, like, real. Let's not pretend that's not contrived.
Yeah, you're not on the.
It's all fake.
You're also not on the team.
Right, right. If you're sitting in section 304, all right, you don't need to, like, believe it the same way the guy who's wearing number 12 believes it.
Right.
I mean, like, you should, like, let's be adults about this.
I'm out of the team. I'm in my seat yelling very loud.
Yeah.
All right. I mean, it's just, it's, I, look, the, every team gets criticized this way. The Chiefs defense got picked apart across, like, for the entire year, the Chiefs defense has been picked apart. The Rams, their cornerback situation, the trades for Tlaib and Peters have been picked apart. The Saints, like, the last month of the year, what's wrong with Drew Brees? This happens with every single team. And for some reason, this particular team, like, one negative thing is said about them. It's, like everybody thinks we suck. No, no one thinks you suck.
Well, it's because they can technically use that now because they're not favored. And it's been a while since they have
been.
He's
talking about the fans.
No, I understand that. I understand that.
No, like, you're not, like you've won 5 Super Bowls. Sorry, bro, you're not Rudy, okay? Like, you're not, like you're not this plucky underdog.
Yeah.
Like, it's just, it's, like, that part of it is, I don't know. That part of it, you can see why other people, you can see why people outside of here get annoyed by it.
That and that they win all the time. Daniel, go ahead.
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Love your show. Hey, Albert, if somebody called you a no-talent hack writer, would you be offended by that?
How many, which time of the day?
Yeah, I mean, I get a lot of that on Twitter. I don't know.
That's my point. Bert's been calling the Patriots not as talented as every other team for the past 3 years. So
they aren't.
Now he said, so if you weren't on that team, you wouldn't take that as a slight?
I'm not saying they shouldn't. Like,
he's not talking about the players. He's talking about the fans.
I'm not talking about the players.
Look,
I don't think.
Talented.
My,
you're calling them not as talented as every other team, but yet you're saying they shouldn't be offended when somebody says they're not good. To me, if somebody says I'm not talented in what I'm doing, then that tells me
saying a team is not the most talented. Like, I'm not saying they're the least talented team. They're not the most talented team.
So you'd be fine with that.
I have no problem. I have no, like, look, if they want to, if someone, you know, down in Foxborough is rolling on this right now so they can use it,
doesn't bother me. So you're fine with that.
If you're in the public eye, you're going to be subject to criticism, right? Like, if you're a professional athlete.
You're fine with somebody calling you untalented.
I have no problem. Like,
Bert's going to use it. He's going to write a 5,000-word article.
Right. I guess that's the difference between you and winners. You and winners. That's the difference. Winners don't like being called that. Thanks, guys.
Well, see, the one thing everyone's missing, the point that Bert's trying to make, and I'm sorry to make your point for you, is that he's not talking about the players. He's talking about the fans getting offended by it. He said if the fans want to use that,
I don't care if the players use it. Like, no,
but,
no, of course.
No, but Bert is saying that this team is not as talented as some teams in the NFL.
Which has always been true. They've like that's a credit to them.
It's not a stretch either.
It's a credit to them. Like,
look
they don't,
at the rosters. This is not a stretch that he's making.
That's how this whole thing was launched in the first place, right? Like, this whole thing was launched in 01 with a team that wasn't as talented. Like, that's what they've been for. They've been more disciplined. They've been more resourceful. They've been smarter. They've been all of those things. They've made up for it. There are very few years. Like, how many years did they have the most talented roster in the NFL? 07, maybe?
The Randy Moss years.
Like, they probably, that's probably it. And look, if they take that as a slight and they want to use it, God bless them. Like, my job is to call this like I see it.
You're stating the fact that this team is not, on paper, is not the most talented team in the league.
That guy was fired up, too.
I like it.
He didn't like you.
Yeah. Oh, he didn't like you at all.
Yeah. Wow.
He's like Deadspin. He doesn't like Bert.
Maybe he works there. I don't know.
Give everybody a quote of yours that can inspire the fans to just get angry.
Yeah, I mean,
and copy the Patriots at Patriots. You see what Bria's saying?
But that's like that guy proved my point, which is like my whole point in this is you can't say anything negative without it turning into they suck, right? Like, unless you are 100%, like, unless you're on your knees bowing to them and telling them constantly how great they are. And that's why, like, I think a lot of times when anybody around here says anything negative about them, there has to be this preamble about how great they are, right? Like, there's always this, and it's true. Like, this is maybe the greatest dynasty in the history of the league.
Oh, it's not. It is.
But that doesn't mean there aren't flaws in the team.
There's a lot of flaws in the team. It doesn't mean
that, like, when we get to, and their struggles this year lasted longer than they have in past years. It's just ridiculous. You know, like, it's, I don't know, this mentality that, again, like, the guy, you know, the guy in the line at the McDonald's at Gillette is, like, needs to be that engaged in, like, that level of, like insulted the same way a player is insulted. Come on.
I think there's a decent amount of people who have a decent head on their shoulders who don't think that way. I believe there's a very vocal...
No, I agree with that, yeah.
I think it's a very vocal group who just...
Felker has made a complete career very successfully and very well by trolling.
Yeah.
The best was if they play St. Louis or if they play the Rams... he was being funny. He's like, I'm doing all my walkthroughs in the hotel where there's only two doors, and I can lock them so no one can spy on us. Chris, go ahead.
Hey, short time, first time. Thanks for taking my call.
What's up, man?
Listen, the other day you had Danny Ainge on. You know, you're talking about the issues with the team, and he pointed out that, you know, this is all nothing. This is completely about nothing. And the first thing that came to my mind is Jerry Seinfeld. He had a show about nothing. And it was very, very entertaining, and as are you guys. But today you're talking about the Patriots and all the stuff they make up. It's all nothing.
Well,
it's all going to be very entertaining when they take the field.
Danny got very, is the word metaphysical yesterday, where he was talking about, or I don't know what the word is, but he was basically saying when I asked him about the Celtics and what was going on with Kyrie Irving. He goes, you know, really none of all this matters. I mean, we all have our health. You know, we're not in the hospital.
He's concerned about painting his kitchen.
Philosophical. Yeah, that's like, the word you're looking
I'm
for.
Like, you're the president of basketball operations. We're supposed to ask you about the Celtics. I mean, is this going to be every week where you just say, you know what? We're not dead.
We have
all our fingers.
None of this matters.
Basically. It's like, all right, well, I guess we can end the interview then.
Okay. Because,
you know, to be quite honest, we're not dead.
Well, I have more with Bert Breer. Here are the headlines.
98.5 Toucher and Rip.
98.5 The Sports Hub. We're Toucher and Rich. It's a special playoff edition and Feed the Fan Fridays, presented by Stop and Shop, the official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Be listening this morning at 7:50 for your chance to score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to Feed their playoff tailgate or party. That's stopandshop.com.
So this is kind of interesting, Bert. Yesterday it was announced that they had full attendance at practice. Everyone seems pretty healthy. And a guy named Zach Cox from Nesson tweeted something out. And this is amazing. So right now the Patriots are significantly healthier than they were entering any of the last five AFC championships. And when you look at the list of injuries, you know, people are talking about when the Patriots play these AFC championships that are away, they lose, and, you know, at home they have the advantage. But, man, you look at how many people were banged up over the last 5 years. It's insane, especially that 2015 game where they lost the Broncos. Listen to who's on the ER. LeGarrette Blount, Deion Lewis, Gerard Mayo, Nate Solder, Ryan Wendell, Aaron Dobson, Dominique Easley, and there were a ton questionable going into it. Amendola, Edelman, Collins, Gronk, Hightower, Chandler Jones, Ninkovich, Slater, Vollmer, Chandler, Ebner, Fleming, Freeney, Stork, and Waddle. And then there were five that were probable, which, of course, you know, Brady, LaFell, McCourty, Chung, and Klein. I mean,
four left tackles that year.
It was a disaster going into there. And then you look at just, I'm looking at all the different lists of the IR. I mean, even the last year with the Jaguars, you had Edelman out, of course, obviously, Hightower, Cannon, Jonathan Jones, Malcolm Mitchell, Martellus Bennett, Cyrus Jones, Shea McClellan. I mean,
Cyrus Jones, wow.
It was kind of funny. I mean, it is funny when you look at it. And then there were a bunch questionable as well, including Burkhead and a few others.
You know, it's funny because, like, I'm just sort of looking at the other teams now, and it's sort of similar. Like, now the Chiefs have dealt with the injuries to Justin Houston and Eric Berry. If both those guys play, like, the biggest name on their IR list right now would probably be DeAnthony Thomas, who is sort of like one of those little slash weapons for them. The Saints, I would say, is probably the guy who got hurt last week, Sheldon Rankins, who's out with an Achilles. And the Rams, they've dealt with injuries in season. You know, they had like Aqib Talib go down. He was on IR for a while. It's Cooper Kupp. Other than Cooper Kupp, I mean, they don't have a really significant one. Dominique Easley went on IR for them, too. Like, all the teams are relatively healthy.
Yeah,
like,
the stars
if you consider,
are there.
Because it's like, you're going to have to deal with, like, two or three, like, significant players landing on injured reserve minimum. Like, that's part of the NFL, you know? And so, I don't know. That's an interesting thing to look at. Like, that the teams... These teams like are relatively healthy considering, you know, where we normally are this time of year.
It is kind of amazing because, you know, the Patriots are usually banged up going into this game, and you know, you kind of wonder, would you trade home field advantage to be going into the AFC Championship with more bodies on the floor, or going in fully healthy and playing on the road in Arrowhead?
No, you don't want to play on the road. Right. They've struggled, Bert, on the road. They seem to struggle with the crowd noise and getting things together offensively.
Oh, and you said something too, Fred, along those lines the other day. I heard you mention that you talked to somebody who had done a study on the refs and their influence when you're on the road as well. And it is fairly significant.
There's a significant difference in the way the playoff games have been called. And this is Mike Lopez, who I went to high school with, who now is working at the NFL. And they're like working in their statistics, basically, department. And they have like statistical data that says that games are called differently in the playoffs. Like the penalty rate for road teams is higher than it is for home teams.
Now, how much of that is just things like jumping off sides because of the sound, is like 50-50 calls on pass interference and things like that?
Sports Illustrated did a big survey of, I've referenced it several times on the show, and they've found that it for whatever reason, that officiating even in the regular season, it favors, because they were like, what's the home field advantage and like what does that actually mean?
Yeah.
And one of the reasons was that the officials, if they're influenced by the crowd or whatever, are more likely to call a penalty on the visiting team. But
I mean, there's also that human element where you're sitting there, and if you're deciding to make a call and you're kind of on the edge, you would err on the side of making this mob around you,
I mean,
to appease them and make them happy, than making every, like, 70,000 people want to kill you because of the call that you made.
Yeah, I mean, I guess human nature would cause you maybe to hesitate a little bit.
Sure.
Like, if it's 50-50 and it's close, like, maybe, I don't know. I mean, I've never been in those shoes, but you could certainly see where it might affect you.
So my question is, though, that one of the reasons they haven't been good on the road is they've struggled with crowd noise almost everywhere they went, except, of course, in New York. So Is that something that you can work on effectively? Is that something that you can cure, or is that going to be a big factor
in
this game?
You can. It can be a huge factor in that, and this is really what you guys want to look at, is pass rush. Like, that's where it can be a really big factor, because if you're going on a silent count on offense, a lot of times the offensive linemen are going on the ball, no one can hear, and what that allows is that's sort of like when you're in a quiet environment, the offense has the advantage of knowing what the snap count is. So everybody there knows what the snap count is. It gives them, like, whatever it is, a split second to get off the ball a little faster than the defense does. If it's that loud and you're going on a silent count, and or the other linemen are going on, the offensive linemen are going on the ball, right, instead of going on what they're hearing, well, now all of a sudden they're going on the same thing the defensive linemen are going on, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And so now the defensive linemen, that advantage, that slight advantage that you have over the defensive linemen that they don't know the snap count, is gone. And so if you get into third and long, again, that's why the key, and this is like, if you guys want to go back, if anyone wants to go back and look at the beginning of that Chiefs-Colts game, there were two key plays at the beginning of that game, and both made by the Chiefs defense. One wasn't made by the Chiefs defense. It was made when the Chiefs defense was on the field. One was the first play of the game, where Dee Ford gets them and like loops in, sees what's coming, and drops Marlon Mack for a 3-yard loss. All of a sudden, now the Colts are in 2nd and 13, and that's a totally different situation. And then the drop on 3rd and 3, right, like by Eric Ebron. And those are two of the first three plays of the game, and two things happen. One, the Chiefs set the tone where they're putting the Colts off schedule, and two, the door of now is open because they went 3 and out for Pat Mahomes and that offense to get right back on the field. They go right down the field again, and it's over. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's just like, I think it's one of those things where the environment there is going to be dictated by little things that happen in the game. And if you're in 3rd and long, or you get off to a slow start, like, you're going to have some problems.
Okay, and the temperature. Everyone making a
big deal. Yeah, I think the field's a bigger deal than the temperature.
Yeah, that looked like a mess a couple days ago.
They re-soldered it.
Yeah,
they re-soldered it. Like, I will tell you this. I talked to some Colts coaches after that game, and it was messy for their game, right? Like, and probably messier than it's going to be on Sunday. But that field, it's got a reputation for being slippery to begin with, right? And if you're re-sodding, it's probably going to be slippery. The Colts defensive coaches thought that going in there, that the field itself would help the Colts because it would help slow down the Chiefs' speed. Instead, like, the opposite happened, right? Like, where the Chiefs weren't slowed down at all. The Chiefs had adapted to it, and the Chiefs were good. And the Colts were slipping and sliding all over the place. And so the grass surface actually played right into the Chiefs' hands, because the drop-off you should have, because it's slippery, it's messy, all of that, it didn't affect them at all. And you've got the Colts slipping and sliding all over the place. It's a team that's played on natural grass all year, mm-hmm. against a team that plays its home games on artificial turf the same way the Patriots do. So that'd be one thing to watch. I would watch, like, I don't think that you can expect the Chiefs to be slowed down much by, like, the natural surface, or the fact that it's going to be cold out, because we already saw that last week. I think you have to watch, like, how the Patriots are handling the actual playing surface.
How do you like the NFC game?
I think the Saints are more complete. Like, I just think the Saints are...
Have you been disappointed by them over the last several weeks?
No, I think that, like, a lot of people, that it's sort of like what you're used to seeing with them, and what you're used to seeing with them is this high-flying offense that can't be stopped, and when they don't look that way, I know a lot of people say it doesn't look right. They are a way more complete team than they've been in the past. And what they showed on Sunday, I thought, like, when I watched that, it's like they can win games on defense now. Like, Marshawn Lattimore had the two picks. The one pick turned the game. The second one obviously landed right in his lap and finished it off.
Right.
But to me, like, that was indicative of a team that can win different ways.
And the Rob Ryan days are gone, you're saying.
Yeah, I've always said that. I've always said that. Like, it shouldn't be defense wins championships. It's the teams that have the most answers win championships. Because when you get to this level, you're probably going to run into somebody who can take away what you do well. Right? At some point, you're going to run into that. And then it's the team that has the most answers. the Saints still can really throw it. Like, Michael Thomas dominated that game. Yeah. Like dominated the Eagles, right? But they can also run it with Kamara and Ingram, and they can also win games on defense. And I look at the Rams, and it's, well, if you can take the running game away, now all of a sudden you got Goff in the dropback game. He's not quite the same. And the defense, as great as Aaron Donald is, and I think Aaron Donald is better at his position than any other player is at their position in the league. Like, best player in the league from that standpoint, right? Okay. But their defense has significant holes. Like, Peters has had his issues. Tlaib has been hurt all year.
Okay, why does Peters hate Sean Payton? Because he, like, started calling him out.
Nice bowl of gumbo.
Oh, it was awesome. Yeah, by the way, that makes that game the price of admission and a keep to lead. Between those two, I'm all in on the Rams. Why does he hate Sean Payton?
Sean's one of these guys that, like, jaws with players during games.
Oh, yeah.
So, there's some of that that went on in the last game. It really stemmed from, now, like, you guys remember, Peters got roasted when they played in, was it October, November? I think it was the first weekend of November when they played.
Mm-hmm.
And Michael Thomas roasted Marcus Peters for, like, the game clincher, right? It was 38-35. They scored the 70-yard touchdown. It's over. And after the game, Sean Payton said, "We got the matchup we wanted."
Okay.
Oh. And he didn't call out Marcus Peters,
sure,
but he said, "We got the matchup we wanted."
Oh, yeah.
So then, of course, a reporter, this is what you do.
Right.
A reporter in L.A. heard that Sean Payton said that, and he goes back to Marcus Peters and says, "Hey, what do you think about this?" And what was it? Tell Sean to talk his shh, right? Like something like that?
Yeah, here it is right here. This is Peters after that game.
Tell Sean Payton, keep talking that shit. We're going to see him soon. You feel me?
Fair enough.
Yeah, because I like what he was saying on the sidelines, too. So tell him, keep talking that shit. And I hope you see me soon. You feel me? And then we're going to have a good little, nice little bowl of gumbo together.
Sounds good.
Now, as good as that is.
Sounds good.
You can tell sounds good. Sure. I'll tell him
to
eat.
Thank you very much.
Appreciate the quote.
I'm Sean Payton. I'm going, oh, wow, Marcus Peters.
Did you guys see what he tweeted early in the week, too?
No.
Peters? He tweeted gumbo week, and then someone made him take it down.
Come on.
I don't know. It was deleted.
The league needs people like that. And by the way.
But you guys know about, like, Marcus Peters is great because, I mean, you got, like.
He went to the stands. That one guy.
Well, Kansas City got rid of him because he's insane.
Remember the Marshawn Lynch thing?
Oh, hang on. With the Marshawn Lynch thing? Oh, it's his brother's cousin.
They got in a fight. Marcus Peters was, like, defending Marshawn Lynch against the Chiefs.
Listen, as good as that was, it still was second in line with Aqib Talib busting in during the after-game interview on field with Jared Goff.
We know this defense, and we prepared for it well all week, and what Todd and CJ did this week.
Talib, excuse the language, he's a little excited.
I bleep that one.
Yeah, well,
he's right,
live.
Though. He's right. But
you're going to steal somebody's effing soul?
Right. Well, that was because DeMarcus Lawrence, the Cowboys defensive end, said during the week, I'm out here to take quarterback souls. So Aqib Talib crashes the interview.
I love it.
Very quickly, because I have to give something away. Let's talk about Adam Gase's eyes.
It's like I don't know why. Like, it's just weird. It's so funny to me that, like, for 3 years he's the head coach of the Miami Dolphins and no one noticed this or picked up on it.
Right.
He was the head coach of the New York Jets for 10 minutes.
10.
There go the eyes.
He sits down. Oh my.
Yeah.
I mean, he looked like he was either hopped up. Or he just is a crazy person. Like, if you sat down for just a meeting with a guy like that, aren't you walking away going, whoa, that dude is seeing ghosts?
I mean, this guy's done national Miami's been on national TV before.
But he wears a hat.
I know, but what I'm saying is,
but how do you not see with the hat? Stop the hat
nationally
thing.
It's true.
He wears the hat.
Okay, but it doesn't stop his, does it stop his eyes from moving?
It's hard to tell.
No, it's harder to tell. But if you, like, talk to him, like, and I know the guy, like, he definitely wears hats low, like, a lot.
To make sure you don't see his eyes?
And I mean, like, you could say that. He's balding a little bit. You know, there's probably multiple pieces of motivation to be wearing hats low for him.
Sure.
But, I mean, like, it's been there. Like, if you've been around him, this isn't new. Like, I've seen it before. It looks way different when the hat's off.
Oh, yeah.
There's no question about that.
New York Post, it's a vision quest.
Yeah. And then I think somebody else said eyes on the prize.
That's good too.
Yeah, there were like three articles in the poster of the Daily News saying how terrible the hire was because of his eyes.
Did Francesa weigh in?
Oh, he did. He goes, oh, yeah. His eyes. What's going on with eyes?
Here's a Francesa interview. Just say anything.
I don't know.
His eyes are weird. You know, it was creepy. I've never seen anything like it.
All right, how about...
But those eyes are weird.
Wait, so Fred, you were all in on this hire a week ago. Like, you love this hire.
Yes. The next morning, it was a 180-degree turn. He's like, I don't know, man. Those eyes, man. I don't know. Jets might have made another mistake. And now he's come back. He's about 50 to 60% back to where he normally was.
Like, okay, so let's say you're on, like, a date, and you met somebody on Tinder or whatever, and everything looked great, and you talked to them on the phone, they're awesome, but then you showed up, and they had those eyes, you'd immediately be like, yeah, I'm out.
How big are their boobs?
I don't know.
They're deep speaking, you're right. No, but Fred brings up a good point. You need somebody to take your attention off of them.
I mean, she had like a really good body. It's a special playoff edition of Feed the Fan Fridays presented by Stop and Shop, official supermarket of the New England Patriots. Car number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. We'll score a $100 Stop and Shop gift card to feed their playoff tailgate or party, stopandshop.com. Mm-hmm. Our good friends over at that Kansas City radio station apparently have talked about us.
Mm-hmm.
And also we have our song that we can play. Finally.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.